Monster Man, Episode 514, Dune Runner, and Dune Tramper. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the creatures of Athas, the post-apocalyptic fantasy world that is home to the Dark Sun setting for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. But before we take a look at any of these monsters, it's time for a little announcement roundup. First, I'm back. I'm recording this episode in the comfort of the present day. Well, actually, a little bit ahead of schedule because I recorded more episodes than I needed to before I went away. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My feet are on the ground, or in this case, upon the floor. Second, it's time to thank some new Patreon backers. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backers, you pledge at the $5 or higher level, you'll get the opportunity to choose a topic for a special episode, as well as the rewards for all other levels, including all episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities. So thank you very much to Dan Connolly, and Funes the Uxorious. I've never known how to say that. Funes? But however you pronounce it, thank you very much for your support. Now, talking to, let's call him Funes, I had an unpleasant revelation, which is that I did not get notified when he increased his pledge level. So, if you have recently gone up to a new pledge level, you know, you've gone up to the $5 level, and you're sitting there thinking, huh, why didn't James send me a message? Drop me an email. My address is at the end of the show. It's possible that something went wrong and I did not get notified. So I'm very sorry about that. But say if you haven't heard from me about your special episode and you are at that level, it's also a chance that you have missed my email about it. So do get in touch. Speaking of patron deities, a new season is beginning. We're going to be taking a look at the gods and myths of the Phoenicians. And I'm really looking forward to it. And The first episode should be out in about a week from the time that you hear this. But that's enough behind-the-scenes stuff for today. Let's look in front of the scenes at a couple of Athasian monsters, beginning with the Dune Runner. Now, the Dune Runner reminds me a little bit of the Banshee Comma Dwarf. That is to say that it is an undead creature that seems to be tied into the society of the creatures that it's associated with or originates from. Specifically, the Dune Runner was an elf in life, and I gather that in Athas, elves are especially good at long-distance running. You know, to get from place to place, they run across the Punishing Wasteland, which is pretty cool and reminds me of a lot of cultures that like exist in harsh environments and have long distance messengers. The classic example would be the origin story of the marathon, right? This idea that long distance running might be a very important way of communicating messages, even in cultures that had ready access to horses. So like the Banshee Comet Dwarf, the Dune Runner is an undead creature that results when an elf runner dies before completing its mission. So the runner was sent off, you know, to carry an important message, or to warn somebody, or to seek help, or whatever, but it died before it was able to, and so now it just runs along the dunes forever, essentially, stuck doing the last thing it was doing before it died. Now, I say that's how dune runners are created, but maybe the more common way that they're created is by other dune runners. So the dune runner just running around is not dangerous particularly, but its psychic abilities make it very dangerous because it can draw other people into its run. So if the dune runner goes running past, people will feel a compulsion to run along with it. And this could mean dragging them miles off course in the trackless wastes of the Athasian wilderness, full of predators and whatever, to say nothing of exhausting them, right? They run until they pass out, and then they get to lie there for hours in the arid wastelands. And then when they wake up, they realize that, you know, they're away from their caravan or their home or whatever, they're not sure where they are, and if they don't get eaten by all the weird creatures, they're going to die of dehydration. And if that deceased person is an elf, then they rise from the grave anew and become a new dune runner. To me, this is a pretty strong monster. I like that it makes use of the environment. A lot of these monsters maybe by comparison to some of the more traditional D&D monsters, a lot of these monsters, clearly a lot of thought has gone into the relationship between the monster and the landscape in which it appears. And I don't just mean in kinds of fantasy ecological terms, but to do with the ways in which player characters are going to experience these monsters in the landscape. It relates, of course, to an element of the setting, the idea of running long distances, and particularly to elves. It's one of those monsters where it's almost more fun to have it happen to someone else. If a dune runner drags up a PC, that's not so much fun because the PC is going to be off, you know, running under a terrible compulsion and not getting to play. Either that, or the adventure is just finding your way back and trying to stay alive with only the things that you had on you at the moment you got dune runnered. Whereas it could be more fun to have the PCs have to go off and find somebody who's lost in the wilderness, in which case what the dune runner really does is provide an explanation for how they got there. So someone else gets hit with the dune runner's mind control and has to be rescued. Following the dune runner, we have the dune trapper. Now the dune trapper is another natural hazard kind of creature. It's a very large sort of pitcher plant kind of thing, and it's so big that its head, for want of a better word, can look like an oasis. Most of the monster is buried underground, so it digs a deep pit, goes down into the pit, and then kind of opens up its head, sort of opens like a flower, and lays it on the surface. And by tapping underground water sources with its deep roots, it can fill that head up with water, so then like soil covers over it, and it just looks like a pond of water. So unsuspecting people or animals come along, they see there's an oasis, they go to drink for the oasis, and then the head curls up, wrapping around them, and retreats down the hole to digest them. I am not as big a fan of this monster as I was of the Dune Runner. It's fine, but it's sort of like a big, silly gotcha monster. Its main purpose is world building, but I don't know that the world building necessarily is all that great. I don't know that the kind of main themes of the Athasian wilderness are reinforced by having an absolutely gigantic passive predator that requires substantial water resources just to lay its trap. I mean, I'm not an ecologist, it's probably fine, but it's one of kind of a lot of monsters that exist just to reinforce what a crap sack the world of Athas is. Once you identify where one is, I think that there could be some fun trying to lure enemies into it. If you're keeping careful track, you know, when you realize that this watering hole is actually a dune trapper, you might have a problem that without watering there, you don't have enough water to get to your next location. So you have to figure out some kind of alternative path, or you have to find a way to get the water out of the dune trapper without endangering yourself. If you kill them, you can extract some of the water from their bodies, so they do become a valuable resource for Athasians in that respect. So I think you could do a little puzzle like that, like you arrive at the thing and you see it, you know, eating a gazelle or something. And so therefore you realize that it sort of has created a resource management challenge. I am not, in the main, a resource management enjoying player, but I think if you're like me and don't like paying very much attention to all the food and water and things, well, I would make an exception in the case of Dark Sun because it's just so important to the story. In many D&D campaigns, it quickly becomes superfluous because you're not keeping track of every gold piece because it's just too much of a hassle. It's a lot of work, especially when characters get richer and more powerful. But in Athas, it's just so much a part of what Athas is about that I think you would have to do it. Anyway, there are some fun things you can do with this, but I think that typically I would only have so many environmental hazard monsters in a game, and I don't know that this one would make the shortlist, but I could be wrong. All right, that is about all of the Athasian monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be taking a look at what elementals look like in the world of Athas, so I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram @MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.